T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mayor Jones won some championships at Alabama, does some broadcast work for ESPN these days, and he joins us now. Bear, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? How we doing? Please, can we please not talk about the Alabama game? Anything but that.
Was that a condition on the appearance that you just? The Iron Bowl is not is off limits.
We did agree to it.
The Iron Bowl is off limits. No, I'm kidding. It was painful. And imagine my pain as I was sitting there calling the LSU A&M game. Ugh. And you know, I'm having to act excited about Joe Burrow throwing touchdown passes as over my shoulder I see us doink one off the left upright. So it was a tough situation, but you got to find out who you really are when you're tested through adversity. And you know, I think I managed it okay.
Will you tell your son when he is born that, son, you are, as an Alabama man, you are entitled to being in the college football playoff?
Yeah, it will be a strange world that my, you know, son, by the way, I'm having a baby, which is what Jason's referencing, that my son is born into a world without Alabama in the college football playoff. So I know that a lot of fans out there are rejoicing, and I can't blame them for that. But it'll be a different scene without the Tide in town.
Congrats, man, on the bigger news than that, obviously. Congrats.
Hey, thanks.
On the bigger.
Appreciate it.
Yes, we have a lot to get to today, Barrett. Let's sort of start here locally. Obviously, Mike Norvell's name has been out there for pretty much every job opening, whether it's Ole Miss, whether it's Arkansas, Florida State. It seems like things are getting hot and heavy at Florida State as it relates to Mike Norvell. If that is indeed the direction that they go, do you like that hire at Florida State of Mike Norvell?
I love Mike Norvell. I think he's fantastic. I think I've done a fantastic job here, and first of all, just couldn't be happier for Memphis. I mean, they've had some awesome, awesome days that I think probably some of the best of the program's history. And I think he'd be a great hire wherever he goes. You know, one thing I like about Mike Norvell and the way he's done this, I think a lot of coaches in his spot just kind of rush to take the first job that they're offered. And from what I've heard, he's had several opportunities maybe in even prior years to leave. And it seems like he's been very patient. And I think he's been rewarded for that patience. I think he loves it here. I think he's being genuine when he says that. And he loves what he's been able to create in Memphis. And then now you see the season that they're having. So I like the way he's been handling it. And, you know, obviously at some point, if he feels like it's the right fit for him, I'm sure he'll leave and go. And, you know, and most of it, honestly, like as a, you know, coaches, I feel like sometimes people get frustrated with coaches when they leave and, you know, I think usually what really gets coaches at the end of the day is they just really want to know if they can, you know, compete against the best week in and week out. And,
yep.
You know, to go to a Power 5 conference like the SEC or ACC, even though there's a lot of – I could make a lot of ACC comments right now, but I'll refrain. Just so how bad the ACC is this year, it's incredible. But I think that a lot of coaches always kind of wonder, you know, and if they never take that leap and they kind of wonder, you know, could I have made it at that level – I think ultimately he probably will take a job at a place like that, whether it be Florida State or somewhere else. But whoever it is, they're getting a great one because he's done a fantastic job here in Memphis.
On the Memphis side of things, if they lose a coach, they lost a coach to Virginia Tech, which a national championship caliber job, right? Maybe not in this day and age, but they've won championships there. Florida State, a huge brand, national championship caliber brand. Again, maybe not in 2020, but it could one day be again. I mean, isn't that something you can sell if you're Memphis? Like, you're not in the Power 5. We don't have to mince words here. You can't win a championship at Memphis, but you can be the closest thing, which is you win at Memphis, you put up points at Memphis, you put a good product on the field at Memphis, and your next gig can be one of their premier gigs in the country. Isn't that something that you should absolutely be proud of and be able to sell to the next guy?
Well, I think there's no doubt. You made a tremendous point there. Like, I mean, Memphis has done a fantastic job over recent years of identifying those guys, you know, identifying people who are kind of ready to take a step. They've given them all the things they've needed to do it. And really, they, I mean, think about the, I mean, Fuente obviously was a great hire. He went on to Virginia Tech. So I think absolutely. I think it's, you know, again, I'm being careful because, like, I never want to disrespect Memphis because I do have so much respect for their program. And I love what they've become, what they've accomplished in the city. You know, but in some ways, like, it is a stepping stone onto a big Power 5 job. And, like, that's just the reality of college football, that you're never going to win a national championship in Memphis. Like, I know that hurts. But just the way the system is set up right now, it's just probably not possible. But what they've done is they've really identified some great guys. And, you know, I think they have maybe even some coaches on that staff, you know, who could be, you know, possible candidates for that next guy. I know I've met and have a lot of respect for Ryan Silverfield. He's a really good coach, their offensive line coach. There's several guys there that could even be that next guy. So they, I think that they've done a great job of identifying talent. And it's been a good relationship for both sides.
So I agree with you completely. They got some good in-house candidates. Silverfield is certainly one of them. And you feel like the pool will be as good or the best it's ever been in terms of folks that'll want the Memphis job. So you got to, you know, do you stay inside? You know, think maybe you can pull a Ryan Day like at Ohio State, or do you go outside in what you feel like is going to be the best pool ever? My question to you would be, would you even kick the tires on Hugh Freeze?
It's a great question. It's a tough question. You know, I probably wouldn't if I were Memphis. Not that no one should, but I think, like you said, Memphis has kind of almost carved out a niche of who they want to be, and it feels like who they are is they're hiring sort of a young and up-and-coming coach versus maybe, like, there are other schools that honestly have the reputation of maybe, like, almost like the coach rehab spot, if that makes sense, you know, like where they're sort of gained the once great coach back his confidence or his prowess. And to me, Memphis right now feels like they're more of the former, not the latter. So, look, I mean, that doesn't mean they can never go in a different direction. I think Hugh Freeze could absolutely be a great coach again, and that could even be a great move for the program. Obviously, he's got a lot of Memphis ties. But I just think with the success they've had recently, you know, of the way they've gone out and hired young guys, kind of up-and-coming, maybe first-time coaches, I would sort of think that maybe that would be their first inclination was to stick with that sort of vein. Again, because they've had so much success doing that as of lately.
Would there be any sort of internal conflict for you, Barrett, if we got a Memphis-Alabama Cotton Bowl? Like, would there be any hint of a conflict for you? I mean,
absolutely. First of all, like, that's like my worst case scenario. Okay, like I do not want to play, if I'm an Alabama fan, not want to play Memphis because, like, let's just be honest, it's going to mean so much more to Memphis
absolutely.
Than to Alabama. Like. I mean, they're going to play it like the Super Bowl. Alabama, like anyone who's draft eligible, probably won't even play.
You're exactly send those right. Guys, right.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So, like, I want no part of Memphis in the Cotton Bowl. Want no part of it. So, I really hope that doesn't happen. Obviously, it'd be great for Memphis and it'd be great exposure and all that. But, like, I mean, I wouldn't be conflicted. Like, I'm sorry. I do love Memphis, and they're definitely my top five favorite teams. I probably wouldn't root against Alabama if I'm being honest. But it would be painful to watch because talk about win-win situation. That to me, that's a lose-lose situation. Like, there's no way I can win that situation because I just will be upset either way.
Barrett, if you put Gus Malzahn and Coach Saban in a pair of glass telephone booths and you set them side by side, you got them both up there angriest, kind of like Nick was this weekend. Who breaks that glass first?
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, you saw. Coach Saban, yeah, you're right. He was some of the angriest I've ever seen him on
my
the sideline.
Gosh.
He was very unhappy. Look, okay, the first one, the field goal to me was ridiculous.
Unfair.
I mean,
unfair.
It was unfair. It was absolutely that was unfair. The field goal
portion of it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not necessarily the referee's fault. Going back and I talked to several officials this week on just kind of what happened, how it unfolded. Like, it's really not their fault because everyone talks about the spike rule, and so just to understand. The rule is if you want to spike the football, that takes 3 seconds. Well, that's when you spike it, right? You can get a snap off with 1 second to go as long as you snap it and then just throw it down the field. And so it's the same kind of deal with a field goal. Is that you can get a snap off with 1 second. Now, obviously, it was a free substitution. They would have never been able to run those people on the field had the clock not stopped initially. So I understand his frustration there. You know, I'm sure he regrets saying the other part where, you know, it was unfair that – they were able to, you know, bring the punter in and the personnel. To me, that's just football. And, I think that was maybe not his best look. And he knows that of just kind of the way. And obviously, it is challenging and something that hadn't been really done before a whole lot where you kind of put the punter into the wide receiver to sort of throw off the team at a big moment. But That to me was not unfair. That's just part of gamesmanship in football. So, yeah, I don't – you know, Coach Saban doesn't really – like, he doesn't get that into rivalries, honestly. Like, he's not that – he just – you know, he treats every game as the same, all that, yada, yada. But, like, he's – I feel like developing a real – he's finally developing a real hate for Auburn, it seems like. I think he's going to try to take out as much vengeance as he can in the next few seasons. And you can see just how much it meant to him over there on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Especially – like, no matter what happens, he knew he was going to be having to hear about it, you know, all season now about how he lost to Auburn. So that's it was a great football game. Just, you know, I still can't believe the way it all turned out. But at the end of the day, like, I'll just say one thing about Alabama. I mean, they missed a field goal. Like, you know, they outgained Auburn by 150 yards, all that stuff. In my mind, just this whole season, that was a microcosm of what they've been. And just they haven't executed up to their normal level. They haven't been as precise. A lot of attention to detail has gone to the wayside. And it's been a disappointing season from that account. I will say this, like I said in the preseason, to me there was no one more important, and that might even be including Tua, that Alabama could have lost than Dylan Moses. And when he went down in the preseason, their signal caller, and they had to play all true freshman linebackers, I think that was just enormous. And they really never recovered from that defensively, because this should have been a much better defense that just never really found its mark. And I think a lot of that was because they didn't have that leadership right there in the middle that they would have had with Dylan Moses.
Makes a lot of sense.
They also lost Memphian, the senior linebacker Josh McMillan, in the preseason too, so their depth was definitely hurting in the front seven.
You're right. That was another big hit.
Yep, we are, of course, talking to Barrett Jones, three-time national champion at Alabama, now doing some broadcast work for ESPN. Barrett, obviously, everybody has seen the fiasco at the end of the Egg Bowl. Have you ever had, on any level, have you ever had a teammate cost you the game like the Ole Miss receiver cost his team the game?
Oh, what happened to the Egg Bowl? I haven't heard, guys.
No. Some guy peed on the field. It's like a dog. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah. You know, it was something else. Now, have I ever seen anything like it? No, I have not. Just to do that at that moment to me is mind-boggling. Like, I almost feel bad for the kid because I know everyone's been piling on his case. And, you know, he's obviously – I'm sure, like, feels terrible about what happened, but to me, like, that's just, and like, I honestly think that really has a significant amount to do with Matt Luke being fired. Like, not directly, but like, just to me, that was kind of maybe like the last straw. Because I mean, I really thought they had a pretty good season, all things considered. I know that sounds crazy, but the way they got better, the guys never quit on them. They kept believing and kind of improving week after week, it seemed like. But that was just, to me, that's a kind of a sign of a lack of discipline in some ways. You know, I mean, when would that – and I love Matt Luke, but when would that ever happen, you know, at a upper-tier program? And so to me, even though that might be unfair, like, I think people saw that and they thought, look, if this is what our program is, we got to make a move. And so I hate that, but I think that lifting of the leg, to me, had ramifications that reached far beyond just the Egg Bowl, in my opinion.
You seem like the type of teammate, Barrett, that would have gone into Elijah Moore's room, though, afterwards and said, you know what, Elijah, you got a big career. You got a career ahead of you. You need to have a strong financial plan. You seem like the kind of teammate that would have helped pick him up. Am I right, or would you have never talked to Elijah again?
No, I would have absolutely gone and picked him up. Look, I mean, I would have told him, like, look, you have a chance here. This is how people are, you know, going to remember you. And that's probably unfair, but that's how a lot of fans will remember Elijah Moore, probably for the rest of his career, is the guy who lifted his leg. But I say, look, you got an opportunity here to use this as a springing off point of, you know, changing. Look, I don't know the kid, so I don't know exactly what I'd say to him. But just obviously, you know, that was a very selfish act. So, you know, you have an opportunity here to kind of change who you are and change your ways and use this as a positive thing in your life, and this can be part of your story of, like, look, this was the low point, and then from here, here's what happened. So hopefully he does that, because that was just a very costly mistake in a huge moment.
Hey, Barrett, man, we appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you, brother.
Always fun hanging out with you guys. I hope you guys have a great Christmas.
Yep.
Thank you, man. You too.
Yep.
Congrats again, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot. Y'all pray for me. While y'all are comfortable in your beds on Friday night, I will be on the red eye, except the Pac-12 on Friday, and I have the ACC on Saturday. So I'm flying all the way across the country in the middle of the night and calling both of them. So it should be fun.
Oh, that will be – yeah.
Work, brother.
Hey, if anybody can do it, though, it's you.
They got the right guy.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys have a good day.
Yep. Thank you, brother.
He is Barrett Jones, three-time national champ at Alabama. Obviously, going to be on the Pac-12 and ACC games this weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.